Welcome to our deep dive, you know, into the evolution of books.
Evolution of books.
It's kind of crazy to think about, right?
That,
like, for most of human history, like, the whole idea of a book was unimaginable.
Yeah.
There were no libraries.
Nope.
No dusty bookstores. No bedside stacks.
Right.
Waiting to be devoured.
Yeah.
Like, knowledge just kind of lived and died with each generation.
Absolutely.
But
it's just an
amazing collection of sources.
Yeah.
And we were ready to unpack how we got from those bookless beginnings to the world we know today.
I think it's more than just a history of objects.
Right.
You know, we're tracing the evolution of how humans captured, controlled, and shared what they know.
Yeah.
Every format from clay tablets to, you know, digital files tells us something about the societies that created them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, take those early Mesopotamian clay tablets.
Oh, yeah.
The OG book, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, imagine lugging those around.
Heavy
reading indeed.
Yeah.
Our sources mentioned they were mostly used for very practical things.
Right.
Like recording transactions logs.
Not very practical. Precisely, writing and by extension books offered a huge advantage.
Uh-huh.
Consistency and control.
Right.
Oral traditions are powerful.
Yes.
But imagine trying to build a stable society.
Oh, yeah.
Let alone an empire.
Yeah.
On information that could be misremembered or reinterpreted at will.
It'd be chaos.
Yeah, total chaos.
Total chaos.
Yeah.
Like trying to run a government on post-it notes.
Yeah, exactly.
Our sources also point out that the Egyptians were busy developing their papyrus scrolls.
Right.
Around the same time.
Yeah.
And they weren't just, like, keeping track of grain supplies.
Mm-hmm.
They were writing things like the Book of the Dead.
Fascinating.
A guide for the afterlife that was buried with the deceased.
Which tells us that books were starting to hold a different kind of power.
Okay.
Spiritual power. They were no longer just records of the mundane. They were influencing the afterlife.
Yeah.
Shaping beliefs about the world beyond.
And that power was often very closely guarded.
Oh, absolutely.
Our sources mention how access to these sacred texts was limited to the elite.
Of course.
Showcasing how knowledge, even then, was tied to social standing.
It's about power, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
But while the Egyptians were perfecting their scrolls, the ancient Chinese were developing a very different book format. Books made of bound bamboo strips.
Interesting.
And our sources point out how crucial these were for the spread of philosophical ideas like Confucianism.
And this highlights a theme that's going to run throughout our deep dive.
Okay.
Books are more than just containers of information.
Right.
They shape thought culture and belief systems.
Like,
whether it's laws etched on a clay tablet or philosophical ideas on bamboo, these early books reveal how societies tried to define themselves.
So we've got these very different cultures, each with their own unique approach to books. But for centuries, the dominant force in the book world was the papyrus scroll, championed by the Greeks and the Romans.
The Greeks and the Romans.
The Library of Alexandria.
Oh, wow.
A treasure trove of knowledge.
The sheer volume of scrolls at Alexandria is staggering.
I bet.
Our sources say that during this period, we saw an explosion of content, everything from philosophy and history to poetry and plays.
Wow.
Almost like a golden age of writing.
But even with all that knowledge being generated, access was still largely limited to the elite.
Yes, sadly, that's a recurring theme.
You needed wealth and status to even set foot in a place like the Library of Alexandria.
Exactly.
And then in the midst of all this scroll mania emerges the Roman Codex.
Ah, the Codex.
This is a game changer, folks.
Yeah.
Found, like the books we know today, the Codex made reading and referencing so much easier.
And that shift in usability had a ripple effect on history.
Really?
The Codex was more durable, more portable.
Okay.
And crucially, it made copying easier. It laid the groundwork for the mass production of books.
Wow.
Something that was unimaginable in the age of scrolls.
Our sources mention how early Christians in particular embraced this new format.
Right.
Seeing its potential for spreading their message far and wide.
Of course.
It's almost ironic.
It is a bit ironic.
This seemingly simple change in format played a huge role in shaping the future of religion, literacy, and knowledge itself.
Absolutely.
But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Indeed. Before the printing press could revolutionize the world, we have to spend some time in the quiet scriptoriums of medieval Europe.
Okay.
Where knowledge was painstakingly preserved by hand.
Right.
Those monks weren't just scribes.
Yeah.
They were the guardians of learning, keeping the flame of knowledge alive in a turbulent era.
And what they produced were more than just books.
Beautiful.
We're talking about illuminated manuscripts.
Yes.
Works of art that combined text with intricate illustrations.
She's done them.
Often adorned with gold leaves and vibrant colors.
These manuscripts offer a fascinating insight into the power dynamics of the time.
Okay.
They weren't just beautiful objects.
Uh-huh.
They were status symbols reinforcing the church's authority.
Right.
The very act of creating them was an act of devotion, a way of honoring the sacred words they contained.
Which raises an interesting question.
Yeah.
Like, what was the point of these elaborate books if most people couldn't even read?
That's a brilliant observation.
Was it just about aesthetics, or was there something deeper going on?
It goes to the heart of how knowledge was controlled and disseminated in the medieval period.
Right.
The very fact that these manuscripts were so rare,
yeah,
so intricate,
yeah,
made them objects of awe and wonder.
Okay.
Further cementing the church's authority.
So it's almost like we have this beautiful exclusive knowledge and only we can interpret it for you.
Precisely.
Talk about a power move.
Imagine being a peasant in medieval Europe.
Yeah.
Your whole life revolves around the church. These illuminated manuscripts, often depicting biblical scenes, become tangible representations of the church's power and knowledge.
Right.
It's a world where literacy itself is a form of control.
But even as these manuscripts were being meticulously crafted, the seeds of a revolution were being sown.
A revolution indeed.
A revolution that would challenge the church's monopoly on knowledge.
Yeah.
And change the course of history.
Uh-huh.
A revolution that would bring us one step closer to the world of books we inhabit today.
And that revolution, of course, begins with a man named Gutenberg and his groundbreaking invention, the printing press.
But that's a story for part two of our deep dive.
Welcome back to our deep dive.
So before we left off, we were talking about the cusp of a revolution.
Revolution indeed, a revolution.
The Gutenberg Revolution.
Yeah.
A revolution that would democratize knowledge in a way that those medieval monks couldn't have possibly imagined.
Right.
It's wild to think about.
It is wild.
Just how much impact. One invention, the printing press.
It really is remarkable.
Like a world.
It's almost impossible to overstate its significance.
I know.
Suddenly, books weren't just these precious hand-copied objects.
Right.
They could be produced quickly, relatively cheaply.
Right.
And in large numbers.
Yeah.
It's like going from painstakingly chiseling messages into stone to sending instant messages across the globe.
Right. It completely changed the game.
It did.
Our sources point out how this sudden influx of books fueled the Renaissance.
Reformation. Uh-huh.
The scientific revolution, pretty much every major intellectual and cultural shift of that era.
Knowledge was no longer confined to monasteries and elite circles.
Right.
It started to spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
Challenging established hierarchies and empowering people to form their own opinions.
It's a great example of how technology can be a catalyst for social change.
Absolutely.
But even as the printing presses were churning out books, there was still a major hurdle.
Yeah.
Literacy.
Literacy, exactly.
Just because books were more available didn't mean everyone could read them.
And this is where we see the complex interplay between technology, knowledge, and power.
Right.
Literacy itself became a battleground.
Okay.
Our sources mentioned how the ability to read, to interpret texts for oneself, was seen as a threat by those in power.
Makes sense. If you control access to knowledge, you control the narrative.
Absolutely.
Right.
But with the printing press, that control started to slip away.
People could read the Bible in their own language, form their own interpretations,
right,
and challenge the church's authority.
And it wasn't just about religion.
Right.
Literacy opened up new worlds of knowledge, ideas, and possibilities.
Yeah.
It empowered people to participate in society in a whole new way.
Our sources highlight some incredible stories of women who fought for the right to learn and write.
Oh, absolutely.
They faced immense challenges.
Yeah.
But they understood that literacy was a path to empowerment.
Women like Christine de Pizan,
yes,
who we discussed earlier.
A true pioneer.
Writing in the 14th century, she was a fierce advocate for women's education.
Yeah.
And challenged societal norms that sought to silence women's voices.
And as literacy rates rose, so too did the demand for different kinds of books.
Right.
It wasn't just about religious texts or scholarly works anymore.
Yeah.
A whole new world of popular literature emerged.
Think of it as the birth of mass entertainment.
Okay.
Our sources describe the rise of penny dreadfuls.
Penny dreadfuls.
Cheap, serialized novels that were devoured by a newly literate public, hungry for stories of adventure, romance, and intrigue.
It's amazing how the evolution of the book mirrors the evolution of society itself.
It really is.
As people gained access to knowledge,
yeah,
they also gain a voice.
Uh-huh.
They could challenge the status quo,
yeah,
express themselves creatively, and connect with others who share their interests.
It's a reminder that books are more than just objects.
Right.
They are tools for connection, for understanding, for sparking imagination and critical thinking.
And as technology continues to evolve, so too will the book.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, we're about to enter the digital age.
The digital age.
A period of unprecedented access to information.
That's right.
But with that access comes new challenges,
yeah,
new questions about the future of the book,
yeah,
and new ways of thinking about our relationship with knowledge itself.
Yeah.
So we've journeyed through like millennia, right?
It's incredible, isn't it?
From clay tablets to the printing press, tracing the evolution of how humans share what they know.
Right.
But our exploration isn't over.
No, not at all.
We're stepping into the digital age.
The digital age.
An era that's reshaping the very definition of a book.
It's fascinating to see how this ancient form is adapting to a digital landscape.
Right.
E-books, online platforms, the internet itself, they're all influencing how we create and consume and even think about books.
It's like that moment when you realize you can store your entire music collection on a tiny device.
Oh, I remember those days.
Remember how mind-blowing that was?
It really was.
Ebooks are kind of like that for books.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I have to admit, at first I was skeptical.
Yeah?
I loved the feel of a physical book.
Yeah.
The weight of it in my hands.
That tactile experience is definitely part of the magic.
Yeah.
But even the most devoted bibliophile has to admit.
Right.
E-readers offer some compelling advantages.
Like what?
Our sources highlight portability as a key factor.
Okay.
Imagine carrying an entire library in your pocket.
And think about accessibility.
Exactly.
Our sources point out how e-readers allow people with visual impairments to adjust font sizes.
Right.
Or even have the text read aloud.
It opens up a whole new world of reading,
yeah,
for people who might have struggled with traditional books.
That's a really good point.
Technology, when used thoughtfully, can break down barriers and make knowledge more accessible.
And it kind of raises a question about sustainability.
Oh, interesting.
Like, does going digital really save trees?
Yeah, that's the big question, isn't
it? Yeah, because we often hear about the environmental benefits of e-books.
Right.
But our sources point out that it's not as simple as it seems.
It's complicated.
Like, the production of e-readers does have an environmental impact.
Uh-huh.
And we have to consider, like, the energy used to power these devices.
It's a complex equation. Ooh. There are trade-offs to consider, just like with any technology.
Okay.
But one thing is clear.
What's...
E-books have expanded access to books on a global scale.
Okay, and speaking of access,
yeah,
what about the authors and publishers themselves?
Uh-huh.
Has the digital revolution been a boon or a bust for the book industry?
It's been both, really.
Both.
Our sources point out that self-publishing has exploded in the digital age.
Interesting.
Authors can bypass traditional gatekeepers and connect directly with readers.
Okay.
It's a democratizing force.
Right.
But it also means a lot more competition.
It's like the Wild West of publishing.
It really is.
It's exciting, but also daunting for both authors and readers.
That's true.
And what about those, like, bastions of knowledge?
Yeah.
Libraries.
Libraries. What about them?
Are they going the way of the dodo?
Not at all.
Okay.
Libraries are evolving, too.
How so?
They're offering ebook lending programs.
Okay.
Digital literacy classes.
Wow.
Even access to online databases and research tools.
So they're becoming more like hubs,
yeah,
for information and community learning.
Exactly.
Which makes sense in this digital landscape.
It does.
But it's not just about ebooks, right?
No.
The internet itself has transformed our relationship with books.
Absolutely. Our sources highlight the rise of online book clubs.
Right.
Review sites, author blogs.
Yeah.
And social media platforms dedicated to books.
Yeah.
It's like a global conversation about reading happening 24/7.
We can connect with other readers, get recommendations.
Yeah.
Even interact with authors directly.
It's pretty amazing.
It is.
But of course, it's not all perfect.
Right.
The internet, as we know, is also a breeding ground for misinformation.
So it's more crucial than ever to be discerning readers, right?
To be discerning readers, yeah.
To evaluate sources critically.
Absolutely.
Whether we're reading a physical book, an ebook, or an article online.
Critical thinking is key.
So those critical thinking skills we were talking about earlier, they're essential in this digital world.
Absolutely. We have to be thoughtful consumers of information.
Right.
No matter the format.
And as we look to the future of the book,
yeah,
it's clear that technology will continue to play a major role.
It will.
We might see new formats,
yeah,
new ways of interacting with stories and information,
right,
even new ways of defining what a book is.
It's an exciting time to be a reader, a writer,
yeah,
and a lover of knowledge.
But as we navigate this evolving landscape,
uh-huh,
it's vital to remember that the essence of the book remains unchanged.
It does.
It's still about the power of stories to connect us.
Yes.
To expand our understanding of the world.
Uh-huh.
And to spark our imaginations.
It's about that shared human experience. Right.
Of wanting to learn to grow.
Yeah.
To make sense of the world around us.
And that, I think, is something worth celebrating.
It is.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.